This is KKFN and KKFN HD1 Longmont Denver.
The 5 o'clock whistle, powered by smart local union 9 sheet metal workers.
Who win it now?
We are coming with it, and we are coming for it. It's Zach Bye and Philip Lindsay, and we are The Drive. And the question that I ask is, did the Nuggets find a real foe in the Phoenix Suns? Last year, Denver really, stampeded their way to the championship. 16 wins and 4 losses.
They bullied everybody.
They pretty much did. But the most stress that was felt in last year's playoffs was their round against the Phoenix Suns, where they won in 6, and half of their losses came in that series. And at one point in time, I mean, this was a 2-2 series. This was a 2-2 series, and I remember quoting the stats at the time. It was like the winner of Game 5, when the series is tied 2-2, goes on to win 80% of the time. And Denver won the first 2 games, and the Suns won the next 2 games, and then Denver won in Denver in Game 5, and then they went on to close the series in Phoenix.
Yeah.
And ended up really running away from them in that final game by 25 points, believe it or not, when Jokic had a triple-double, 32 points, 10 rebounds, and 12 assists. But
when does Jokic not have a triple-double?
Last night.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Zach.
But going back to last year, I remember saying, hey, there's not enough runway for this Phoenix team that was thrown together at the deadline to figure out championship habits and then go beat a team like Denver, who was organically building for years. But I do also remember saying, this time next year could be problematic. How problematic is it right now? Well, that's what we're going to talk about here.
Yeah, I mean, it should be on everybody's radar. Now, I'm not saying everybody should panic, okay? Because Zach and I both agree that in a 7-game series, we still don't think the Phoenix Suns can beat the Denver Nuggets. I just don't think that they have enough to do that. But we're talking about right now. And right now, the Phoenix Suns have beaten the Denver Nuggets in their house twice.
Yeah.
Twice. Both times where somebody was, the first game, Booker wasn't there,
correct.
Wasn't available.
Correct.
The second game, Booker and Bradley Beal didn't do well.
Right, correct. They shot 8 of 28 last night.
And in both the games, Kevin Durant went crazy. Kevin Durant is one of the reasons why they were able to win both the games.
Yeah.
So that should tell you something right there. Now, although we didn't have Jamal Murray, it still doesn't matter. We should still be able to beat the Phoenix Suns at home with everybody else on our roster.
Yeah. Yeah, and they came up short. And it's one of these things where, Phoenix wasn't creeping up on Denver. They had just played them this month and lost in overtime. And after the game, Matt Moore of the Action Network, who joins us from time to time, and I'm a fan of his, and he wrote at Action Network, and because I read his preview on the game, he said, that was the maddest I have seen the Denver Nuggets after a loss in the last 2 years. Mm. That game against the Phoenix Suns that they lost in overtime earlier this month. So you have a game where, you're visibly upset and angered and can't wait for the payback game. It's a national TV game, and you're clinging on to the number one seed in the Western Conference. And luckily, Oklahoma City lost last night as well to the Rockets, who have somehow won 10 in a row. But it's one of these things where, they should have been more emotionally up in terms of their competitive spirit for a fist fight 12 rounds, and they just weren't. And it looks like a team that is kind of got a bit of senioritis, if I could steal your analogy from earlier in the show.
That's exactly what it looks like. It looks like how they did for spring break. All right, before the All-Star break, they went off and had a couple games where it just didn't look like themselves.
Right.
This is the exact same situation here for the Denver Nuggets. You got 9 games left. Okay, you've been playing, what is it, 82 games?
Yep.
82 game season. That's a lot of games. It really is a marathon. You're ready to be done with this. Get ready for the rumble in the jungle, right? Get ready for the big bang tuna, which is the playoffs. So everybody's focus is on the playoffs, but you have a lot still in store at what's the word I want to...
Like at risk.
At risk, yeah. Pretty much, yeah. Right? That you can go for. So you can't cash out right now. You can't tune out when you have some big games. You have a big game coming up, the biggest game.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, I think it's fair. Minnesota Timberwolves tomorrow night. You win that game, man, you'll have a really nice foothold on the number one seed. But you're seeing a team that's banged up and tired.
Yeah.
And it brings up a question of, like, what is the most important thing over these last nine games? And it feels like Michael Malone may have to make a choice. Are we going all in for the number one seed, or are we going all in health-wise? And seed be damned. We'll figure it out once we get there. But you can make that decision now, then maybe regret it in a month when you're going to someone else's barn and your season's on the line. So I don't think there's a perfect answer. But gosh, Phil, if this team's not healthy, they're starting five. They have no margin for error from a health standpoint.
Their depth is not there right now. And we've seen it multiple games. And if you have to make a decision, you have to make a good decision. There's only one decision. In my eyes, Zach, it's rest. It's be the healthiest you can be for the playoffs. You've shown us enough, all right, in the season right now. Now it's time for postseason. Now it's time for everybody to be hands on deck, healthy enough so we can make this run. That's all that matters. All right, of course I want to have the number one seed, the number two seed. But at the end of the day, you're going to have to go play no matter what seed you are. You're still going to have to show up.
Yeah, yeah. And then you look at the dynamics last night. And we're obviously hoping Jamal is back tomorrow night against Minnesota. Aaron Gordon looks beat up and tired.
Wore down, man.
Yeah.
You know, he's just kind of out there. Even listening to him talk after the game, pregame, it was more like nonchalant. Just wore out, tired. He's having to play different positions, right? And I know it's hard sometimes when you have to be a center out there, you know, or the power forward position, and they're so heavy and they're leaning on you all day.
Definitely.
And then you're the one that has to generate the offense at times and have 18 points. We're talking about Aaron Gordon, the number four option. That's what we've been saying. Well, he's out there. We're hoping that he generates some points shooting threes.
Yeah.
Like he's having to do some things like that where it's like that's not what we want from him all the time.
Yeah, and the Nuggets, it felt like, fell into a little bit of a trap in that category last night. And Phoenix, give them credit, man. Their defense was awesome, and they have not been getting enough credit today. Their defense was fantastic. Their rotations were on point. They were, I mean, you talk about an energized group. Did you see the play where Jokic, I think it was Jokic, a pass from out of the post to Porter in the corner? He turned down a three and tried to dribble it once, and he just dribbled it out of bounds. And the Suns bench is every single person
standing up.
Was standing up and clapping and hooting and hollering. They had an energy last night that the Nuggets just didn't have. They just didn't have it. And their back is against the wall, Phoenix is, and they have to, like, if they mess around here in the last nine games, they'll be in the play-in tournament.
Mm.
And they are seriously trying to avoid that. So they're playing with a desperation
that's dangerous.
It is, man.
It's very dangerous. When you have to play a team that's desperate for a win, that's willing to do whatever it takes for a win, you got to be on your A game. And you should be on your A game anyway because you're defending a title, right? You're trying to go for another one. So everybody's going to give you your best shots. So, yes, it's unfair to say this, but every single game you have to bring your A game because every team's going to bring theirs.
Yeah,
they want to beat you.
Yeah, you're the hunted. You're the hunted. And defensively, it was interesting to see because Phoenix, like, they did not pressure the perimeter. They sank in. And I'll call it, like, shrinking the court. Like, they're playing off the perimeter and clogging up the entire middle of the half court, and you think of how Denver wants to play. I mean, it's Jokic distributing and guys slashing and cutting and movement, and it's awesome. But when they play, when they defend Denver like that, they're allowing you to shoot open threes.
So go ahead, take a shot.
Yeah.
On top of that, I know you noticed this, that they were double teaming Jokic every time he stepped in that paint.
Correct.
Right. So they had a great, great game plan going into it. Let them shoot. Jamal's not there to help out with the shooting, being that shooter that Jamal can be.
Yep.
You have to kind of rely on someone like MPJ, right? That's a hotter cold, wishy-washy. If he's hot, then now it's going to kind of force the Phoenix Suns' hands to say, okay, we got to start
playing. Yeah, you
got to
step out, yeah.
You know, but if you're not like he was, then you're just kind of like, I'm willing to risk it.
Yeah, and I know you just mentioned missing Jamal and his three-point shooting, but also him playing off the dribble and off the bounce. When you don't have a creator that can knife through that, you know, shrinking of the court type of approach,
yeah,
and you're missing his shooting, it turns into, you know what it turned into a lot of times? Just Jokic with the basketball, bunch of guys standing around, and him kicking it out, leading to open threes that they were just missing. 10 for 40 yeah. is horrible. I mean, it's horrible. And they're going to need to knock down shots. I mean, period. Like, if they ever meet Phoenix in a playoff series, they're going to need to just play much better. They'll have a much better competitive spirit. And ideally, Jamal will be there. But Jokic, too, you know, and they're going to need to make shots. But Jokic, I thought last night was too passive when it comes to scoring the basketball. Yeah. And I know they were launching a double team at him every single time. But it's Drew Eubanks and fill in the blank. And double team could be double cheeseburgers if Jokic really wants to eat.
Yeah.
And he didn't really have that approach. And I don't know if it's calculated of like, no, like you guys need to do this too.
Yeah.
These are wide open threes at the NBA level.
Which he does have a point though. Like you're having an open shot and any given night, you guys can make these shots. And if they were on, then they do probably beat the Phoenix Suns.
Yes.
But they weren't. And they took shots. They took too many threes when they didn't need to. It's like get in the paint, get Jokic the ball, let it kind of run through him. But like you said, Jokic is too pass happy at times.
Yeah, I would like to see him be more just assertive and aggressive. But 43s, that's not who the Nuggets are.
No.
That's they average 31 attempts a game. And then let me just say this too, Phoenix. You know, they ended up making 16 threes.
Yeah.
They make on average 12 per game. So it's like they shot a little bit above their head. I mean, the start of that game was like, holy smokes. I think they had 7 threes in like the first 15 minutes of the game or so. But at the same time, like if you're a Suns fan, you could say, yeah, we went into Denver and won, and Booker and Beal combined to shoot 8 for 28. So Denver's got to do a much better job on the rebounds. That's, I look at the rebounding of basketball like the trenches of football. It's like one of the most important thing that doesn't get talked about enough as we get caught up in talking about all the skill of the game in football and basketball. But you're out rebounded by 13 boards against Phoenix. They've been
out. Not going
to
win. No. Not going to win.
And you look at the track record. They've been out rebounded by 10 or more rebounds 5 times this year, and they're 1-4 of those games. So you can draw a straight line to the lack of rebounding. You know, no fast break. They scored 5 points on the fast break. It's just not good enough.
So I got a question for you, man. I got a couple questions, but this one's a big one, right? Bruce Brown not being here anymore.
Yep.
Okay?
God,
bench.
Yeah.
The bench play.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
And we know that we're going to need our bench in the playoffs. How big of a deal is this at this point, at this moment? 9 games left. The rotation. Do we have a bench? Do we have people that are going to play in the playoffs? What's going on, Zach? What's going on?
I mean, Phil, we've been talking about this for the last 6 months.
Yes.
And some weeks, we come in here feeling great about Christian Brown and Peyton Watson. And, you know, at some points earlier in the season, remember, is Julian Strother, who's kind of, you know, finding his way back into the fold. There's not one guy amongst that group, not one, that has a even 4-star reliability rating in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And Christian Brown had played his best 2 games in a row against Portland and Memphis, and he comes out and he was just bad. I mean, he was just bad.
He didn't take any shots. He kind of seemed hesitant at times. Yeah, Christian Brown didn't play a good game at all.
The Nuggets were outscored 19 points when Christian Brown was on the floor last night in a game that they lost by 7. So that's telling. Reggie Jackson needs to be slotted back in his initial role and you hope that you know what you're going to get from him and, you know, Christian and Peyton Watson, but even Peyton Watson, I don't know if that guy's going to play every single night in the playoffs. I don't know that.
So do you think that he's lost trust? Because before this, Malone was on Peyton Watson. You know, there was a lot of big things going on for Peyton Watson. But now it kind of seems like he took a shot at Peyton Watson, you know, in a media during one of the games. And now Peyton Watson minutes fluctuate. And he's not doing what he was doing 5-6 games ago.
No. Yeah. But that's the thing about young players, you know, playing in the best basketball league in the entire world. This is the first year of Peyton Watson being an everyday player. So we'll continue to follow it. But, you know, is there enough trust built up for between Peyton Watson and Michael Malone? And if the answer to that question is no, is there enough runway left in the season to build it? My guess would be no.
Well, Zach, there's no choice now. Truly, when you go down on this bench, who else? Who else? That's my next question. Right? Why the hell is Colin Gillespie getting as many minutes as he is? Zach, can that man even play in the playoffs?
No, he's not eligible to play in the playoffs. And that's a really good question by you. It's like, why is he playing as much as he's playing here
like
lately?
Solid dude, right? Oh, he has some good stuff.
Yep.
The man can't play in the playoffs.
No, he can't. And that just goes to show you a couple things. Like, Michael Malone wanted to win that game last night, that he's willing to play someone he knows is not going to be eligible to play in 3 weeks. And, you know, Gillespie has some fine moments. You know, he scored 8 points. I think most of those were in the first half. Second half, I mean, he had that big air ball on an important possession. He smoked a layup in transition.
He did a reverse layup and smoked it, man.
Yeah, he didn't even hit the rim.
No.
It's very imperfect, but that's a good question by you. It's like, if this guy is not going to be playing in the playoffs, why is he playing in a game that you really want to win? And when you put Jokic in the game down 11 in the fourth quarter with like 9 minutes left, when he typically doesn't come in until much later than that, he wanted to win that game. So those are all fair questions, man. But here's what I'll say. Healthy Denver Nuggets team, which they're currently not.
Yeah.
They get healthy. I do not believe Phoenix will beat them 4 times in a 2-week period. Can Phoenix win 3 times? I'm coming around on that. And that's not me not being bullish on Denver. That is me just proceeding with caution and having an immense amount of respect for multiple Hall of Famers who are in their prime and have slowly kind of worked their way back into like the threat zone of like
having a little life.
Yeah, like damn, like no, this is a real team. Yeah. This is a real team. They beat you twice this month, and the previous time they didn't have their second best player in Devin Booker earlier in the month. So yeah, they're on my radar, man. So it's like finding that balance of like, I'm not going to let one game alter my view of this Denver team.
No.
But at the same time, just acknowledging, hey, this is a threat. And if you don't play this right or you're not healthy, they could have a parade route detour here over the next 2 months.
And I think for the fans and the Denver fans, I think they have to understand, too, is like we're not trying to bash the Denver Nuggets.
No.
But also,
no.
It's going to be a tougher way into getting to the championship this year.
It is.
Right? Like, we're not going to just sit here, and maybe I'm wrong, we're not going to sweep everybody.
No.
Right?
No.
That's not just, this is the NBA, okay? The highest league you can ever play in. You're not going to just go and sweep everybody. It's a tough league, and it's gotten tougher this year.
Yes.
All right? It's not like we're just going to sit there and just have these great games and, oh, it's just the Denver Nuggets. No, they're going to have to work their butt off to earn another championship. That's just a fact.
No question about it. 16-4 on your way to a title is unusual.
Hmm.
In fact, it's the second most dominant run in the last 15 years, meaning that almost every other eventual champion had it way harder than Denver did a year ago. And they deserve credit for the blazing that trail. But at the same time, just pack a lunch, bring your hard hat. There's heavy work ahead. There's heavy work ahead. And none of this works without Jamal.
No.
None of this works. And you could look at any of these starters. Like when the Denver Nuggets have one starter missing and they're playing a team over 500, just one starter missing, playing a team over 500, they're 6-9 this year. So it's like both things are true at the same time. They're the defending champ and favored to win it again, and we're super bullish on them. But if they do not have their full complement of all 5 starters, put KCP in there too. If something happens with one of those guys, man, the probability, it takes a hit that is unusual compared to other past champions.
Do we have a 6-man, Zach, right now? Are we still trying to find him? Do we have a 6-man?
There's going to be nights you do, and there's going to be nights you don't. And that's the unfortunate answer to that question, because there's going to be some nights where we're coming in here and we're going to be going nuts over how great Christian Brown played.
Yeah.
Or Reggie Jackson in a reserve role. Maybe it's Peyton Watson in a playoff game or two. But a 6-man like Bruce Brown?
Yes.
Absolutely not. And we talked about this last year. It's like I was told that, I was overbloviating on Bruce Brown. Did I say Christian Brown?
No, you said Bruce Brown.
I was like exaggerating how important Bruce Brown was to the title. And I just thought that guy We throw around dog too much, not when it came to Bruce Brown. He was a pit bull. And I just don't see the consistency with any of these guys that Bruce Brown represented.
And see, that's what I want to see. And maybe that's why Malone went out there with the rotation he did. There was a one time where he had all smalls, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Smalls, and I know that there was a reason for it. But that didn't work out. It didn't look good. It didn't work out. I don't think that they're going to put it out there again, but they're trying to find some rotational players that they can put in there to help spark something in these playoffs.
Yeah. Yep. All right. We'll see, man. We shall see. I can't wait for tomorrow night. I can't wait because nothing like tomorrow night will be if you go out and win against the Minnesota Timberwolves, get a further foothold on the number one seed. It will serve as Listerine in getting the bad taste out of our mouth here today with this loss against Phoenix again. So we'll see what we're in store for. We'll break that game down tomorrow and preview it and look ahead to it and make predictions on it. But sky is not falling. That is for sure. The sky is not falling.
No, sir.
But the Suns are on the radar. Okay. The first pitch for the Rockies is in a few hours from now. You know, CBS Sports predicted the Rockies will set a Major League Baseball record this year by using the most pitchers in a single season ever. The current record's 42 by the 2022 Chicago Cubs. And you hear Bud Black previewing the season this morning with Schlereth and Evans, but you hear you can hear the concern in his voice when it comes to him talking about his pitching staff on the second half of this quote you're about to hear now.
The position player group, if we keep these guys together and on the field, I think, you know, that could be our strength. I think we're going to play really good defense. We showed that last year. And we have multiple gold glove type players. And offensively, you know, Bryant, Rogers, Blackman, McMahon, Jones, Tobar, you know, this is a group that offensively should do more than what we did last year. We were banged up for sure. But if we can keep this group on the field for the majority of the season, the offense, I think, will be way more potent than what it's been the last couple of years. The question will be, as you guys know, pitching is so important. You know, our starting rotation has to stay intact. You know, they're not, you know, maybe not high-end number one type pitchers, but they compete. And we need our bullpen to step up in close games that we expect to win.
You hear it kind of in his voice, like, yeah, our starters might not be high end.
That's not good.
But they compete. So we'll see. I mean, look, the Rockies are supposed to stink. Yeah. We know that, right? We know that. But Dick Monfort comes out and says, the only way to shut up the doubters is to win. What amount of winning, and I want to invite Kamaje and Drew, if he's around, to this conversation of, like, what amount of winning here in Denver this year would shut up critics? So your over-under team total is 59.5, 60.5, depending on where you look. So the team is supposed to lose 100 games.
Yeah.
What amount of winning would shut up the critics? I'm genuinely asking the question.
Nobody's expecting them to get to the playoffs or even really get to 500 this year, right? Yeah. I mean, I think all of us in this room would have the consensus, like, nobody's expecting them to get to 500. But for me, all right, you don't win 100 games or you don't lose 100 games again this year.
Yeah.
Would 70 wins be like a massive improvement for this squad and make you think that they're going in the right direction, that things are actually trending upwards, that they've got, you know, the young guys that you can actually kind of build this thing around moving forward?
I mean, that would be 10 games past their projection by the experts. I think that might qualify. Kamaje, thought?
You know what? I'm going to go 10 over that and say if you get the 80, you won't hear a thing from any of the Rockies fans this year because they'll say, okay, not only do I know they're headed in the right direction, but I can trust the vision that's on the way.
Dude, if they won 80 games... If they won 80 games, that would mean they're, what, 80-82, right?
Right.
Play 162. That, I bet, would be the largest jump from their over-under projection to where they would actually finish. Because you're talking, like, that'd be, like, literally 19, 20 games better than the experts expect.
Yeah.
I actually think if the Rockies did that, they would be a story here in town. If they
it would force us to have to talk about them a lot.
Yeah. I agree. If they stink, that's just the sun rising. Like that's
everybody's hope, you know, hoping we can do better than not stink, but like that's what it is. Everybody thinks they're going to stink.
How bad are they going to stink? Let's talk about win totals right now. Kamaje, please write them down. If they're projected to win 60, what is our final season prediction of Rocky wins? Phil?
I think they're going to win 65 games.
Okay.
65 games. They're going to go over.
Drew?
Since Phil stole my number, I'm actually going to go even a little lower. I might go 63.
Okay. 63, okay. Kamaje?
55.
Oh, no. That'd be the worst Rocky season of all time. So we'd have the only two 100 loss seasons back-to-back. I'll go 60 on the nose.
Ooh.
Comes down to the final game of the season. 60 on the nose. Huh. All right, we'll see. We'll see how it all shakes out. We'll see who's right, who's wrong when we look back at it. Do the Broncos, Phil, the Denver Broncos, do they have a bit of a secret weapon in 2024 that can kickstart their offense? And I'll explain my thinking here, see if I'm right, with Phil coming up next. Do the Denver Broncos have a secret weapon in 2024 that can kickstart their offense? I want to bounce that idea off of you, Phil, here in a second, but I think we have Kamaje wants to read a text from the RamosLaw.com text line relating to the conversation I think we just had. KJ, what do you got?
Yeah, quick question. The 970, they want to know, does the quality of wins for the Rockies matter this year? The number of wins.
Does the quality of wins.
So like beating the Dodgers more times than not, huh?
Oh, okay. Because I was thinking, like, okay, quality of wins. Like, yeah, you can have a quality win, but if you win 55 of them, like, what, you know. But, yeah, beating a team like the Dodgers, I like that.
You know, I think that you just need a win. I don't think at this time where we are, okay, we have an F grade. Like, I don't care if we beat the Dodgers 10 times or 2 times. I just want to have 65 games that we win.
Actually, like that would be a fun story if the Rockies were like a thorn in the Dodgers side.
But would you rather be a thorn in the Dodgers side but only win 55 games?
What would be cooler? Winning like 65 games, finishing last anyway, hitting your season over, or winning 55 but say like 6 came against the Dodgers and just it didn't make sense?
I'm going with the 65 because I want us to see, like, are we getting better or are we just sitting here sucking and we're able just to beat the Dodgers because the Dodgers don't care about playing hard against us? Because that's what's going to come down. It's going to come down to is all of the Dodgers are not up for this game.
Yeah, but if you beat them 6 times, people would be, like, super confused and it just might be it's the Rockies are beating. Give me the wins, man. I got $200 on the season over. Give me the wins.
And the Dodgers will be up for coming to Coors Field. Are you kidding me? That lineup, Ohtani, Betts, Freeman, right, coming to Coors Field in this pitching staff? Right.
You see what they did today?
Oh, yeah. I mean, come on.
I checked. It was 7-1, I think, last time.
I think they ended it with 7-1.
Although, I mean, this assumption that they're going to win, like, 105, 106 games, like, it usually doesn't work out like that.
Well, they
might
still do that, but then they might lose in the first round of playoffs like they did last year.
They're not going to win. They're not going to win in the end, but they're going to win a lot of games.
All right, we'll see. We'll see what it looks like. Do the Broncos have a secret weapon in 2024 that can kickstart their offense? Here's what I'm thinking, man. The NFL made rule changes this week that fundamentally changes the kickoff rule. All right, this is going to be a big time change, the biggest in years that we've seen to an NFL game. And it's going to be jarring a little bit. All right, and it's an effort to make a dead play viable again. All right. And they took it from the XFL. You are uniquely qualified to talk about it because you were in that league. You saw this firsthand. And you were at some points the return man, right?
I did. I returned the ball. I almost had a kick return too. Look, it's going to make it fun for the game. All right. Because now you're forcing the returner to return the ball. I'm telling you, Zach, back when I was a returner in with the Denver Broncos, literally, you're not going to get the ball 9 times out of 10. They're just going to kick it in the end zone. So you're getting free money. It's called player performance. Every player gets it when you're on the field for a play. So I was getting free money by the kicker kicking it out the end zone.
That's
so
nice.
That was another point. So I was like, nice. Cool, just put me out there.
Yeah.
In this case, though, the kick returner is going to have to return the ball. All right, now they're trying to make it so that these players, these defensive offensive players that are blocking up front for the kick returner don't get injured. So, like, they're 10 yards apart from each other, which makes it harder for that defensive player to kind of just have a running head start and bulldoze somebody over.
Right.
But it also is going to make it a little bit easier for the returner to break. And if you have a fast, explosive returner and you get through that first line of defense.
Right.
You might be gone.
Yeah, and with Marvin Mims' speed.
Yes.
I mean, the guy was a Pro Bowler his first year in the NFL for doing this under the old rule.
Yeah.
Now he's going to have way more opportunities. And I don't know if you guys have seen these charts or whatever, but every single team in the XFL had more returns per game than the highest team in the NFL. So they just, I mean, there was teams in the XFL who were turning returning 5 kicks a game, where, like, there was teams in the NFL who on average were returning 0.5 kicks per game. So it's going to be a big time difference. And I just wonder, with Mims's speed and opportunity that's intersecting with this rule change, if it will benefit the Broncos in a way it just won't other teams.
I mean, look, Cordell Stewart.
Flash, is he back?
Yeah, he's back. Cordell Patterson, right?
Yes.
Kick returner, a great kick returner. He's signing with the Pittsburgh Steelers for $6 million, not to be a running back. He didn't do anything last year, but he's a great returner.
Right.
And now that they have this new rule, you want to have that great returner because it's a play. And if you can score off a punt return, a kick return, your chances of winning that game go up 70%. So everybody's trying to find out who they can get as a returner. We have one in our backyard with Marvin Mims.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have to utilize it.
Right, right. I'm curious, man. What kind of year should we expect overall from Marvin Mims in this revamped wide receiver room?
Ooh-wee. You know what? I'm expecting a big year, a big leap. All right. We got rid of Jerry Jeudy for a reason, because we believe in Marvin Mims. All right, George Payton, Sean Payton believe in Marvin Mims. Marvin Mims is the only one I know can go for 2 catches for over 100 yards.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, he has the speed. He has the ability. Now, can he clean up the route running ability, right? The route running, clean that up. Get more involved with the slants, the three-step slants. I think that he's going to have a really good year.
Really good year goes from 377 yards to...
I'm going to say 700 yards.
Wow.
700 yards, six touchdowns. Let's go six.
Whoa.
700 yards, six touchdowns. Because if you're getting 700 yards with his ability to break and run, he's going to have some goal balls.
Sure.
He should score some.
That'd be awesome, man. That would be awesome. Marvin Mims only had 22 receptions this year for 377 yards. Isn't that unusual?
How many touchdowns?
One.
Okay, one.
Yeah, in that game against Washington.
Okay.
But... to have 377 yards off 22 receptions, that is over 17 yards per catch. So that is kind of who he was in his first year. Now he just needs the role expanded. He just needs the role expanded. So we'll see what it looks like. I'm excited to watch him, though, in year number two, after moving up into the second round and drafting him out of Oklahoma. All right. The Colorado Avalanche are in a heavyweight fight tonight on the ice against another Stanley Cup favorite. We got March Madness games getting back off the ground as we speak. We have opening day for the Colorado Rockies. Where will our eyes go tonight? We'll talk about it coming up next.
It's time for the Drive's Top 5.
Not two, not three, not four.
Presented by High Five Plumbing. Here's Zach and Phil.
All right, let's put a bow on this thing. We get you closer and closer to Friday.
Friday. It's here. It's here. Once you go home, you close those little eyes of yours, you wake up, it's Friday.
And we already got a fun day planned for us and hopefully you tomorrow. Thanks for making us a small part of your Thursday. It's time to look ahead at one of the most action-packed nights in recent memory with the Drive's Top 5 of the Night, brought to you by High Five Plumbing. Man, there's a lot going on tonight.
Yeah.
I mean, you have this Avs game against the Rangers, yep, which could be a Stanley Cup preview. All right, Rangers are a fantastic team. Avs coming off a loss. We got March Madness. We have first pitch of the Rockies season. They got a TV deal done. So unless you have Dish Network, you're pretty much good. Man, it's you got baseball games across the league going on. I'm curious where your guys' eyes are going tonight. Phil, we'll start with you.
Yeah, look, I think all of us are going to be tuned into a lot of things, especially this hockey game, Rangers versus the Colorado Avalanche. So I'm going to be watching the Colorado Avalanche and the Rangers, but here's this, right? I'm going to be a little bit more detailed with it, all right? You got the Georgiev,
yes,
you have Igor.
Yes.
That's the matchup I'm looking for. I'm watching out for.
I like that.
Can Georgiev have an outstanding game? Can he play on his head? Right? Stand on his head. Is that what they say?
That's what they say.
Stand on their head, play on his head, do whatever you gotta do to win this game.
I love it, man. That used to be Igor's backup there. You know, Georgie used to be Igor's backup. The Avalanche traded a second round pick. Georgie's now the number one here.
Yeah.
And that would be fun. That, if he was able to outperform Igor, that'd be great. I love that. I love that matchup within the matchup. Drew Spivak, what are you looking for tonight?
Well, there's a lot to choose from, obviously. Of course, I'm the hockey guy. I'm going to be watching hockey. I'm going to be watching the Avalanche, of course. But I want to see how many shots on goal they get. Because if you watch over the 9-game winning streak they just had, every game in that 9-game winning streak, 30 shots on goal or more.
Yes.
Against Montreal the other night, they fell short of that mark.
28
and got a loss. So I want to see them get over that 30 shot on goal mark, which I think they're going to be able to do. I feel like this is going to be an up-tempo, back and forth. It's not going to be like watching Montreal the other night. This is going to be a fun game tonight with two teams going back and forth. So I'm going to be watching that with a side eye on a couple things going on in the playoff race. Vegas at Winnipeg tonight.
Ooh.
Playoff implications for the Avalanche in that one.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Dallas and Vancouver. Another one. As, you know, with Dallas in the Central Division, Vancouver fighting for the top spot out west. So a lot of playoff implication type things going on in hockey tonight.
I absolutely love it. Kamaje Granderson behind the glass. What do you got?
The Avs, I'm going to watch. But basketball is my first love. So we're heading to the hardwood tonight. Sweet 16.
Mm, talk to me.
Alabama versus North Carolina. And whoever wins that game will present the greatest challenge to knocking off UConn in the Final Four, who I predicted a couple of weeks ago will go on to win it all. So that's what I'll have my eyes on, because my bracket already has a torn ACL, two black eyes, and just a couple ribs torn out. So UConn's, we're holding on. So if UConn gets knocked off, then I'm totally messed up. So Alabama, North Carolina, who will present the greatest challenge to UConn in the Final Four? That's what I'm looking for.
Have we had a, that's good, KJ, that's good. But we have not, I'm thinking here, and help me out, we have not had a back-to-back NCAA champion since Billy Donovan's Florida Gators, I don't think, right?
That's correct.
And that was with like Joakim Noah, yes, Al Horford, Corey Brewer. I'm missing one. It was like, maybe like Chris Douglas Roberts, or was he? No, that wasn't him. I'm missing one there. There was another one. So Joakim Noah, Corey Brewer, Al Horford. I thought there was another household name there.
There might have been. Those are the main three that everybody knows. So, yeah. Okay. 2006, 2007 was the last time it happened.
2006, 2000. They all came back.
Yep.
That's like that. That's the last shred of like yesteryear. That would never happen again. That would never happen again.
No.
Well, that's the exact reason why women's basketball is whooping the men's basketball up and down the court, literally and figuratively.
Yeah, and we got to remember to give predictions on CU Iowa tomorrow. Let me write that down here. Some really good options, boys. Some really good options. Man, I'm going to have my focus divided between the Avalanche, the Rockies, March Madness, in the order of Avs, March Madness, Rockies.
Yeah.
And this might be, you know, the only night where the Rockies are in contention for, like, true focus and not in the background. But watch them go out and win.
Well, you seen that little post where it's like, hey, the Rockies have already been eliminated.
I don't like that.
Yeah, that's bull crap.
Let's go out and see what happens, man. You got to go out and compete. You got to go out and compete.
Try hard.
Try hard. That's good advice for the Rockies this year.
Wait, could the Diamondbacks be distracted tonight by raising the National League Championship banner?
Ooh.
I know, I'm reaching here. I'm really reaching here.
Like a go-go gadget arm.
Yeah. But, hey, you know, you never know. Kyle Friedland might have some tonight.
You know what? Hey, trust in Kyle, man. I'm looking for the odds here. Rockies are... dude, it's not as crazy as you think. Zach Allen is on the mound for the Diamondbacks. They're minus 218 on the money line. Rockies plus 180. Baseball's a funny sport, man. Like, in any one game, it's not like basketball where you could just, like, or football where you could take over with brute force over an inferior opponent. Baseball's just, you know what it is, Phil? It's baseball. There's this phrase, it's like, don't we only say that with baseball? Like, oh, that's baseball.
That's just baseball.
Just like weird stuff adds, oh, that's baseball.
Yep.
Because it's just a weird sport, man.
So many games, 162 games.
Yeah.
Too many random weird things happen. You just say,
yeah.
That's just baseball.
That's baseball.
6 months of playing one sport.
Yeah. Season's way too long, man.
Season
is so long. How many games will Chris Bryant play before getting hurt?
Oh, I like it.
Seriously.
I like it.
Are we going to go before getting hurt or just games played all year?
Let's go games played all year. Out of 162, Chris Bryant, out of 162, will play?
Go first, Drew.
62.
Oh.
62, so he misses a hundo.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
He's one Marriott mattress away from a debilitating injury. KJ, how many games will Chris Bryant play?
He'll play 120.
I like that. I like that spirit. Hey, how many games out of 162 will Chris Bryant play?
He'll play 115.
Okay.
115. He has to prove to us, man. He got to get back on our good graces.
I agree.
He's been talking stuff about us.
Well, guess what? I think he's going to do it. I will bet on a bounce back Chris Bryant season.
Right?
Just to do it.
For the heck of it.
But
how many?
He'll play play more than anyone suggested. He plays in 128 games. We'll see. All right, we'll leave it there for now. Guys, have a great rest of your Thursday evening. Thanks for making us a small part of it. We're going to come back here and have some fun on a Friday. Get home safe. And we have Denver Sports tonight with Cecil Lammy coming up next.